You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us here today for the Friendship Hour with Elder Rodney T. Osborne, the radio ministry of Friendship Primitive Baptist Church, located on Burnett Road in Cocoa. Now, here with today's broadcast, already in progress, is Elder Rodney T. Osborne.
Glad I got Jesus. Glad I got Jesus. Glad I got Jesus. I'm glad. Say that one more time. Glad I've got Jesus. Glad I've got Jesus. I'm glad I got Jesus. I'm so glad. Glad I've got peace. Glad I've got peace. Glad I've got peace. I'm so glad. I got Jesus. I got Jesus. Do you got Jesus? I got Jesus. Do you got Jesus? I got Jesus. You got Jesus. Do you got Jesus? Glad I've got Jesus. Glad I've got Jesus. Glad I've got Jesus. Anybody glad? I've got love. I'm glad I've got love. Glad I've got love. Glad I've got. Glad I've got love. Glad I've got love. Glad I've got love. So glad. I got Jesus. Do you got Jesus? Does anybody got Jesus? Does anybody got Jesus? Glad I got Jesus. Does anybody got Jesus? Does anybody got Jesus? I got Jesus. Does anybody got Jesus? Anybody got Jesus? Glad I got Jesus. Jesus. I'm glad I've got Jesus. Glad I've got Jesus. Glad I've got Jesus. I'm so glad. I'm glad I've got peace. Glad I've got peace. Glad I've got peace. I'm so glad. I got Jesus. Do you got Jesus? I'm glad I got Jesus. I'm glad I got Jesus. Do you got Jesus? I'm glad I got Jesus. Do you got Jesus? I got Jesus. Do you got Jesus? A mighty good friend. He's a doctor in a sick room. He's a lawyer in a courtroom. Do you got Jesus? He's a doctor in a courtroom. He's a lawyer in a courtroom. He's a doctor in a sick room. Do you got Jesus? Does anybody got Jesus? Don't you? I got Jesus. Do you got Jesus? Anybody got Jesus? Do you got Jesus? Y'all ought to be glad in here now. I should have been that song, y'all glad by now. Are you glad you got Jesus? You should be on your feet giving the Lord some praise. Is you really glad you got Jesus in your heart?
Yeah, go ahead.
This ain't for no show. Is you really glad you got Jesus in your heart? You should be on your feet now if you're glad you got Jesus in your heart. Huh? Why don't you give the Lord some praise? If he woke you up this morning, you should be on your feet. I got Jesus. Do you got Jesus? I got Jesus. Do you got Jesus? I'm glad I got Jesus. Do you got Jesus? I got Jesus. Do you got Jesus? If you got Jesus, you should be on your feet. If Jesus died in your heart and he woke you up this morning, you should be giving him some praise. Glad I got Jesus. Glad I've got Jesus. I'm glad I've got Jesus. I'm so glad, glad I got Jesus in my... Amen. All glory be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, O Lord, we pray that you would hide me behind thy cross, that these, your people, will see more of you and less of me. And we'll be so very careful to continue to give you the praise, the glory, and all of the honor. It is in the precious and most powerful name of Jesus the Christ we do pray.
Hallelujah.
And let all of those that love the Lord express it by saying amen.
Amen.
We do give honor to God who is our Father.
Thank you.
We give honor to his Son, our Savior, and our very best friend, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we give honor to our Comforter and God, the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Thank God for Minister Martin today.
Thank you.
Thank God for our deacons today. And to our beautiful mothers, we thank God for them. Thank God for this choir.
Amen.
Thank God. Come on, y'all can give them a better hand than that. These brethren came together with no rehearsal. And did an awesome job. Amen. I done told y'all, when Brother Holder get the mic, just scrap yourself down because you don't know which way you're going to go. But all I can tell you is let the Lord use you. Amen. It's good to see a brother just to enjoy serving the Lord. And we as men, we like to stand around and claim that God put us at the head.
Yes. My God.
But when he put us at the head, he put us at the head to be an example.
That's right.
For others to follow.
That's right.
And I thank God, in some cases, that these women don't follow some of these dead men. When it comes to worship. But when I can find one,
come on now,
that can just change the atmosphere.
Come on now.
Whoa, thank you, Lord. I ain't all by myself. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
I'm praying for men who worship.
Come on.
We need men who worship and praise God publicly and not ashamed. You'll see me burst out in tears sometimes. You might see me halfway do a dance and clap my hands and stomp my feet and wave my hands. That don't have nothing to do with my manhood. You see all that going on, but you better not try me in the wrong way. You better not mess with my wife in the wrong way, because you'll see the man come about me. But when I come to church, I don't come to church just to be in the church. I come to church to have church. I come to church because God has been good to me. God has brought me from a mighty long ways. He woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. Gave me the active uses of my limbs. So I'm coming to church and I'm going to use what I got to give God praise. got up this morning, I said I wanted to be out of church by 12:30. I said I had a long week and I was tired from the long weekend. We got a service on. Sit down, Jamal. We got a service on Wednesday, and I said I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna do what I got to do, and I'm gonna get on up out of there, and Jamal ain't gonna have nothing to say to me today, and I said that I was gonna leave out by 12:30. But Sister Adams, that was my plan. I didn't consult God about it. Yeah. So if I was gonna follow my plan, I gotta do an 8-minute sermon. I love the encouragement I'm getting right now. Amen. We do want to thank God for the ushers and for each and every last one of you, those that have joined us on Facebook. We thank God. We thank God for you. We thank God for these musicians today. We thank God for my lovely wife today. God bless her. God bless her. Amen. James chapter 1. We've been working out of James. And we're gonna keep working out of James. Yeah. James chapter 1. We're going to begin reading verse number 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. Find these words. It's wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion is undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Down to the 27th verse, the word of God for the people of God. Look at verse 22. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I want to speak from the subject today. Stop fooling yourself. Stop fooling yourself. If a Christian sins because Satan deceives him, that's one thing. But if he deceives himself, that's a far more serious matter.
than that we have to deal with. Many people in the church are deceiving themselves into thinking they're saved when they're really not. They think because they put on their fine clothes, they out here every Sunday. They think because they know the Bible, can quote two or three scriptures, because they sang in the choir and work on the usher board, deacons in the deacon corners, even preachers in the pulpit. They feel that because they give $2 or $3 in the offering, that they are saved. But they're only deceiving themselves. Jesus said it like this. He said, many will say in that day, Lord, 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 Lord. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And have we not cast out devils in thy name? And have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? And Jesus said, I will profess unto them, I knew you not. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But there are true believers who are fooling themselves concerning their Christian walk. They think they are spiritual when they are not. You know, it's a mark of maturity when a person faces himself honestly, knows himself, and admits his needs. Some of us feel like everything is A-okay. We have no faults. We have no needs. And everything is in order. But I come to let you know today to stop fooling yourself. It is the immature person who pretends I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Spiritual reality results from the proper relationship to God through his word. How many of you know that God's word is truth? And if we are rightly related to God's truth, we cannot be dishonest, and we cannot be hypocritical. Yes, too many hypocrites in the church. Here in the text today, I'm trying to get them 8 minutes in. In the text today, we have James, and James is the writer, the preacher, the apostle, the one, James. When in his writing, James is always straight and to the point. James never cut corners. James lets you know how T.I. is. He lets us know as the church, as Christians, how we should walk our Christian walk, even in the midst of trouble, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of tribulations. James said we still should have a character of a Christian. He said it earlier part in the first chapter. He says to count it all joy when we fall in the divers temptation. We ought to be happy. We ought to have joy when trouble comes our way. And James is letting us know how we should walk. Our walk should be different than the world. Y'all ain't got to say amen today. The more y'all say amen, the more I get these 8 minutes in. Our walk should be different than the world. Ain't no way we ought to be walking the same way the world walk. And walk around here claiming, I'm Christian. I'm saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost. Stop telling that lie. I got the Holy Spirit in me. You got a spirit in you. But it definitely ain't holy. The Holy Spirit acts in a certain way. The Holy Spirit walks in a certain way. The Holy Spirit talks in a certain way. And if you're not lining up with the Word of God, I talked to my preacher friend, and when we talk, we say the problem with the church is folks need to get saved. We got too many folks walking around the church that's not saved, and that's why we have issues that we have. See, we have issues that we have is because folks are not saved. Oh, that ain't the right type of preaching people want to hear. But y'all heard about what happened over in Israel, right? Yeah, I ain't going to get too deep in. I'm going to let Deacon Butterfield get deep in that. But we need to wake up. I'm talking about the church. We got too many schisms and isms, and we run around fussing by this, that, and the other. Too many knickknacks. We got too much squabbles and too much petty and messy stuff going on when God is sending signals, and we're missing the signal, and we're going to get caught with our work undone if we don't tighten up. Ain't no need of talking about we got time, because time is winding up. And if we don't open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears, we are going to get caught with your work undone. James states three responsibilities toward God's word. And if we fulfill these responsibilities, we will have an honest walk with God and with man. Yeah, see, if you have an honest walk with God, you'll have an honest walk with man. Yes, amen. You look, I ain't got to please them. Yeah, if you have an honest walk with God, you'll have an honest walk with man. Amen. The first thing James is calling us to do is to receive the word. James called God's word the engrafted word, which means the implanted word. He really was piggybacking off of Jesus when Jesus had the parable of the sower, where he compared God's word to seed and the human heart to soil. In his parable, Jesus describes four kinds of heart. The heart, which did not understand or receive the word, and therefore they bore no fruit. The shallow heart, which was very emotional but had no depth and bore no fruit. The crowded heart, which refused repentance and permitted sin to crowd out the word, and bore no fruit. And then there was the fruitful heart, the one which received the word and allowed it to take root and produced a harvest. You see, the final test of salvation is fruit.
Come on.
Okay. All right. How many is actually bearing fruit? You ain't got to tell me, because the Bible tells me to judge a tree by the fruit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy today. To judge the tree by the fruit that is bare. And some folks, I'm talking about the church folks, some folks is bearing rotten fruit. Rotten to the core. When you're bearing fruit, this means a changed life. The fruit you harvest might be winning souls to Christ. It might be growing in your holy living. It might be sharing your material possessions. It might be your spiritual character. It might be your good works, and even praising God. Religious works may be manufactured, but they have no life in them, and it brings no glory to God. Oh, let me say that again. Let me say that again. Religious works may be manufactured, but it have no life, and it brings no glory. No glory to God. No glory to God. It brings more glory to you. Then it does to God. But real fruit has in it the seed for more fruit, so that the harvest continues to grow. It continues to grow fruit, and then it gets more fruit. Then it becomes much fruit. But the word cannot work in our lives unless we receive it in the right way. Mark tells, Jesus says, and Mark says, take heed to what you hear. But he also says in Luke, take heed to how you hear. Too many people are in a tragic condition in which they are hearing. They hear not, neither do they understand. Look here, they attend Bible study. They come to church school. They come to church services. But some odd reason, they never tend to grow. They know it all. They know the Bible from in the beginning to amen. But yet they have not grown. Oh, this is not the type of message y'all want to hear today. But that's okay. This is what God gave me. And we have to understand that our religious works is not going to get us to heaven. There are some teachers and some deacons and some preachers that's going to bust hell wide open because they know the Bible. They know the Bible, but when it comes that time, oh, they're going to be thrown in the lake of fire. And because you don't grow, is it the fault of the preacher? Maybe it's the fault of the hearer. It's possible, like the writer in Hebrews say, for you to have dull hearing because of your decayed spiritual life. Some of our spirituality has been truly decayed. And we are in the church not understanding that God is a spirit. And everything that he says, we worship him in spirit and in truth. But yet we're looking at things with a carnal mindset. We're looking at things with a carnal eyesight. We're hearing with carnal ears, and we're not looking from a spiritual perspective. But if the seed of the word is planted in our hearts, then we must obey the instructions. We must receive the word. We got to receive the word. I heard somebody said the other day that they like reading the word out the book. And I get it. Everybody got their preference. But you can't tell me that the word has less power out the book than it has on my phone. It's the same word. It's the same word. It holds the same power in the book. It holds the same power on the pad. And it holds the same power in my heart. I don't care what you see, for God so loved the word. You may see it on a billboard right down the street. It still holds power. God's words do not lose his flavor. Receive the word. Receive the word. And once you have received the word, then you must practice the word. Oh, you got to practice the word. It's not enough to hear the word. We must do it. Many people mistake that hearing a good sermon or a good Bible study is what makes you grow and gets God's blessings. It's not the hearing, but the doing that brings the blessings. I know the Bible says that you're hearing, faith comes by hearing. But once you heard it, you got to do something. Because I think later on down in the scripture it says you got to believe. You got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ, you got to do something. Too many Christians mark their Bibles, but their Bibles never mark them. If you think you're spiritual because you hear the word, then you're only fooling yourself. We said earlier that James compared the word to a seed, and now he compares it to a mirror. The main purpose for owning a mirror is to be able to see yourself and make yourself look as clean and neat as possible. As we look in the mirror of God's word, we see ourselves for who we really are. But there are several mistakes that people make as they look into God's mirror. First thing, they merely glance at themselves. They do not carefully study themselves as they read the word of God. Many sincere believers read a chapter of the Bible every day, but it's only a religious exercise. Wow. And they fail to profit from it personally. Yeah. Their conscience would bother them, brother world. Yeah. If they did not have their daily reading, when actually their conscience should bother them. Because they read the Bible carelessly. A hasty reading of the Bible will never reveal our deepest needs. It's a difference between a candid photo and an x-ray. It's a difference between a photo and an x-ray. The x-ray goes down to the bone. The second mistake is they forget what they see. They forget what they say. They see. If they were looking deeply enough into their hearts, what they would see would not be unforgettable. I don't know about y'all, but when I look in the mirror, especially now that I'm a little up in age. See, I used to look like Jordan. I used to look like Jordan, and you know, stomach flat, and had little muscles about myself, and thought I had it going on. But now, when I look into the mirror and take a good, honest look at myself, I'm getting to the point, man, where I used to get out the shower and I just look in the mirror and it just be astonished at what I'm seeing. Now when I look in the mirror, I'm ashamed at what I see. It's some stuff that grew there and some stuff grew over here and it's some stuff that I didn't know I had. And oh, Lord, have mercy. When we take a good look at our spiritual lives, a good, honest, real look at our spiritual lives based on the word of God, that's what we need to compare it with. The word of God, that's our measuring stick. We'll find out there's some stuff going on. Some stuff I didn't even know was there. There's some stuff over there that I really don't like. that I need to address the matter. Look how some of the brothers in the Bible responded to the true knowledge of their own hearts. Look at Brother Isaiah. Brother Isaiah said, "Woe is me." He said, "For I am done, because I'm a man of unclean lips." And then he said, "I dwell with people." Oh Lord, with unclean lips. Brother Peter stood before the Lord and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Look what Brother David says. He said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sins is ever before me." He said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight." We need to take a good look in the mirror. When you get in the mirror, you will see it for what it really is. Thought I had it going on, but come to find out, I ain't got nothing going on. I'm sitting here looking at the next man and how he falling short. But when you look at yourself, you'll realize you ain't got time to look at Osborne. You ain't got time to look at Wall. You'll realize that, man, I'm a mess undone. So holy and sanctified. You just a mess. Filthy rags. Don't even deserve the right to stand before God. None of us deserve the right to stand before God. Take a look in the mirror. You'll find yourself in the mirror every day. And the truth be told, we all can stand and look in the mirror all day, every day, and find some stuff. You're going to find some stuff today that you didn't see yesterday. We go to these associations, these conferences, these conventions. They have these committee meetings talking about evangelism and church growth and think we have made progress. We ain't did nothing. I look at right here and some things on the building, some stuff have been accomplished, but we ain't did nothing. I'm not worried about the building being beautified. That's okay. We come together and we get it beautified. We want God's house to look good. But what about your heart? The building looks good, but your heart is shady as the day here long. We got to tighten up. Yeah, if we use God's mirror in the right way, then we must gaze into it carefully with serious intent. No quick glances will do. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that every man ought to examine his own self. What is he saying? He's saying that everybody ought to look into the mirror, and they ought to not just glance at it. You need to look strongly and seriously into the mirror. Amen. I just went to the doctor the other day. You know, I'm at the age now that every year I got to have one of the physical exams. Yes, sir. And he check everything. He check everything. When I say everything, I mean everything. Some things I very felt very uncomfortable. Seemed like Doc was enjoying himself. I had a problem with that. Yeah, I had a problem. I had a problem with that. But y'all men know what I'm talking about. y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I'm going to leave that alone. But you found, I found out one thing, Brother World. It was necessary. It was necessary. It was necessary. It was necessary because you don't want something unexpected to pop up. So a thorough examination. See, I don't want to be caught at the door of the heaven, at the gate, and something unexpected pop up. Yeah, and see, I want to make sure that I have I have examined myself thoroughly. And it's an everyday, it is a process. It's an everyday process that you got to look in the mirror. And we must examine our own hearts and lives in the light of God's word. And this requires time, attention, and sincere devotion. Well, we have to receive the word. We have to practice the word. And I believe my 8 minutes is up. So I urge you, Minister Martin. Then we must share the word. Receive the word. Once you have received the word, practice the word. And then share the word. You see, in times like these, we need to share the word every chance we get. We need to share it on our jobs. We need to share it in our community. We need to share it in our home. We need to share it on Facebook, TikTok, and all that other talk. We need to share it. We need to share it on every turn. We need to share the word. Not just in our speech, but also in our service and in our walk. There is going to be some times that folks, the world, the only God that the world will see is the God on the inside of you. See, we don't have to walk around with a poster saying that I am Christian. We don't have to walk around with a stamp on our forehead saying that I am a child of God. All we have to do is live the word. So we need to share the word. We need to let the world know that there's strength in the word. We need to let the world know there's healing in his word. We need to let the world know that there's hope in the word. Oh, we need to share the word. We need to let them know that there's comfort in the word. There's peace in the word. There's deliverance in the word. There's joy in the word. There's love in the word. Oh, my time is all gone, but we need to let the world know that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And the word was God. We need to share the word that one day the word went on a hill called Calvary. We need to let them know that the word was stretched wide and hung high. We need to let the world know that he died. How many of you know? know that he died. He died. He died till he laid his head in the locks of his shoulder. The word was laid in a borrowed tomb. But thanks be unto God, because early on the third day morning, the word, he got up with all power in his hands. And because he lives, I don't have to fool myself. Why you don't have to fool yourself, preacher? Well, I'm glad that you asked. Because he lives, he lives deep down on the inside of me. Because he lives, I can be obedient to the word. Because he lives, he walks with me. Because he lives, he talks with me. Because he lives, he tells me I am his own. Anybody in here, stop fooling yourself. Because Jesus, y'all do know him, don't you? Jesus, the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Jesus, the bridge over your troubled water. Jesus, your rock in a weary land. Jesus, Jesus, the lily in the valley, the bright in the morning star. He lives, he lives, he lives on the inside of me. Well, how do you know it? Because every now and then I can feel him. Every now and then he rises up in me. And when I feel him, all I can do is shout, shout glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for living on the inside of me. And because he's in the inside of me, I can walk right. Because he's on the inside of me, I can talk right. Because he's on the inside of me, I can love right. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes.
This is not the time. This is not the time to be playing church. if you really don't understand what's going on, I suggest you really read your Bible. You really receive what you're reading. Because once you receive what you're reading, and then you see what's going on around us. The song we sang, Time is Winding Up, it's not just a little cliche of a song. That's the real deal, Holyfield. And the Bible tells us, that Jesus is coming back. It says in verse 27 that we need to be unspotted from the world. Because when he comes back, he's coming back for a church. Without a spot, without a wrinkle. Yeah, whatever. I might got some wrinkles on this thing here. But Jesus is coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Keep playing. That's all I'm going to tell you. Keep on playing. Keep on playing because when he comes back, what will he catch you doing? I ain't talking about what comes out your mouth. Because fakeness can come out your mouth. You do it all the time when you come to church. You fake in church. But then when you go out there, you're a whole different person. Jesus, you're a whole different person. Help us. See, God ain't looking for fake people. God ain't looking for fake people. God ain't looking for folks to come in and put on a show. God is looking for real folks. Yeah, because you can sing well and attract the crowd. That ain't what God looking for. God is looking for folks with a pure heart. Yeah. Stop it.
My Lord.
Stop it. Church, stop it.
Jesus.
Folks are dying.
Jesus.
Folks are dying. And we in here fooling around, fooling ourselves. And not lining up with the word of God. And we think we're lining up. Cause we're like, we some of us got real finesse. Cause we can twist and turn certain words and make it line up to what they want to do. Or what they want you to do. We need to read, he says, to study. To show thyself approved. That you may rightly. Look, rightly divide the word of truth. Rightly divide the word. Rightly dividing the word of truth has nothing to do with my opinions. It has nothing to do with my emotions. Or what I think we ought to do, how I think we ought to do it. It has nothing to do with that. We got to tighten up. I tell my children all the time, y'all need to tighten up. Tighten up. The church needs to tighten up. We are under attack. We are under attack. And the sad part about it is some of us are joining into attack. Oh, that's another sermon for a different day. We need to wake up and recognize what's going on. God has given us warning. I got to go. God has given us the warning. He's given us, he said he sends warning before destruction. Warning, he's sending us warnings all the time. And the bombing of Israel, if that's not a warning, the doors of the church are open.
Let the world know that Jesus lived. Let the world know that. Let the world know.
Come on, let a Christian experience of Panaday for baptism.
Know.
Will there be one?
Let the world know. Let the world know.
Will there be another?
Let the world know.
Will there be another? Don't let him catch you with your work undone. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us.
Let the world know. Let the world know. Oh, let the world know. And it may be found in.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning into the Friendship Hour with Pastor Rodney T. Osborne. You can also join us in person at Friendship Primitive Baptist Church at 385 South Burnett Road, Cocoa, Florida. We have church school at 9:30 a.m., worship services at 11 a.m., youth Bible study at Wednesday, 5:30 p.m., followed by adult Bible.